Bhajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam, yogam tam. Yena mam upayantite. Please repeat. Vajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upayantite. Tesam satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upayantite. Anyone else? La repetición, si tu veux. No? Okay. So, for by word translation, Tetsam unto them, Satata Yuktanam, always engage, Bhajatam, in rendering devotional service, Priti Purvakam, in loving ecstasy. Dadami, I give buddhi yogam, real intelligence, tam, that, yena, by which, mam, am to me, upayanti, kom, te, they. Translation, and poured by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, ki, from the Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. If you like, we can repeat together. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me, with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic devotion. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or bodhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion, render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. I read the verse again. Tesam satata yuktana bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So, basically, this this verse, which is one of the most important verses of the Gita, is central core of the book. It says Chaturasloki, for most important verses. Lord Krishna is delineating the path of devotion to him as a way to getting out of material entanglement, and it must be done without interruption, constantly, and the knowledge by which one goes to him is given by the Lord, ultimately. So all intelligence is given by him. As verse 15:15 also explains, it's a famous verse, that he is situated in everyone's heart. May you read it, maybe, just to refresh. Both on Bhakti-sastri memorization verse. 15:15 and 10:10. So this first line says that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. And then the second line says, Smritir, I give the understanding, the knowledge and forgetfulness. So today's verse is explaining that even if we are not much intelligent, like in this Kali Yuga, I know she's not understanding anything. Right? Maybe we could translate to so that we receive this enlightenment as we sing every day in the prayers to Srila Prabhupada. This knowledge is revealed within the heart. Hride prakasito. Hride, within the heart is revealed. And the Lord more specifically, Srila Prabhupada talks now about bhakti, different types, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, buddhi yoga, processes to reach the Supreme. So, specifically, Prabhupada, in the first part of the purport, in the first paragraph at the beginning, mentions how in the second chapter, the Lord explains to Arjuna the path of Buddhi Yoga, how is the highest intelligence, is the yoga of the intelligence. And also, he mentions later on Karma Yoga, the yoga of performing activities for the Supreme, and Jnana Yoga, the yoga of engaging in the scriptural reading and understanding, as the different paths that culminate in God. And of those paths, the highest is what is made with devotion, as explained by the verse, with love. Constantly devoted to me with love, because Krishna accepts whatever we do, if it's done with devotion. If it's not done like that, then it's not bhakti. Although during the sadhana by the bhakti regulated activities, we perform in order to purify. So the love is maybe is not still awakened to the fullest extent, but at least by performing those activities, it will awaken at some point. It will gradually get free from all those material coverings. So at this stage, we need to basically keep endeavoring to develop that, because that love is within. It's not that we don't have that love. It's already in the heart, but it needs to be awakened. It's like in a fire in a wooden trunk. If you set it in fire, it will. The fire is actually already within the wood. You know, it just need to be kindled, and then it will produce fire. So in the same way, devotional service will ignite our innate Krishna consciousness. We have that propensity within us. Krishna consciousness is within. It's just it needs to be taking out. But because we have these bodies and this material misidentification and illusion, then we are confused and we are not performing our highest activity. So that activity, with what we do for the sake of the Supreme, is karma yoga. We choose. We may choose the activity, you know. But if we offer the results, if we offer the activity, that's another verse from Bhakti Sastri. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, whatever charity you give, that do that as an offering to me. So that offering spiritualizes the activity. And then it becomes karma yoga. And if it's done with devotion, it's bhakti yoga. So there are different types of yoga according to different propensities of different people. But the most important ingredient is that devotion. Because only with devotion we can attain the spiritual realm. So to do that, it requires selflessness and by engaging in chanting Hare Krishna and offering the food, offering the activities, following, reading Bhagavatam, reading sacred scriptures, and all the 64 items explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, then we'll purify and we'll reach that consciousness. So this verse is situated, as I mentioned, in as one of the four most important core verses of the book of the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord is clearly explaining that how to reach Him and how He's enlightening the souls who are dedicated fully to Him, and how this process it gives great satisfaction and fulfillment. Because it's situated purely in the level of the soul, as verse 9, is it 9:2? Let me check. Yeah, that's the one. It's joyfully performed, it's everlasting, it's the perfection of religion, and it gives direct perfection by self-realization. So it means that through your senses you can actually perceive God. God is manifested in the daily life of the practitioner, and because it's purely situated in the level of the soul, of the level of beyond the mind and beyond the intelligence, exactly what we are in the spiritual level, in that level, and therefore it is awakening the highest type of knowledge. This process reveals the qualities of the soul. We may have bad qualities or good qualities, but that those good qualities is due to this spiritual platform. Those good qualities are coming from the spiritual platform. The spirit soul is pure, is full of knowledge, it's full of divine qualities by nature, by constitution. That's what we are. We're full of good qualities. So the process of bhakti yoga awakens that, and therefore anyone can do it, and it is actually the greatest welfare activity. Is the best thing that you can give to others, and is for the most benefit of everyone. So, as explained by many times, and I feel enlightened, and I feel delighted actually by this analogy. I think it's an Upanishadic analogy. It explains that how this by pleasing, watering the root of the tree, actually all the leaves are nourished, or also the stomach, by feeding the stomach, so the whole body gets nourished. So this is what we are supposed to do, and we just need to do it. And for that, there are 6 items which are recommended, which are favorable for the execution of devotional service. Which are them? Confidence, patience, and determination. Like if a pregnant woman wants to have the baby in the first week, or the first month, or the first 3 months, it's not gonna happen. It takes some time. So there, patience is needed, and confidence that the result will be there. Also, we need to follow the regulations associated with people who are spiritually minded, devotees of the Lord, and in this way the association of those personalities will elevate us and will bring us closer to the Lord. So in this way, we have different scriptures, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, which are meant for our spiritual practice. So the qualities of the soul that chanting Hare Krishna awakes are, which are them? Who knows? What are the qualities that, according to Lord Krishna, is real knowledge? What is knowledge? What are the 18 items that Lord Krishna says, this is knowledge, and beyond that, anything else is ignorance, I declare, he says. Yes? Amani Tuam, very nice, means humility. Thank you, Yamastami Prabhu. And you said also Adambitam, which means pridelessness. Okay? So we need to be humble and also not proud. Any other? Carlo? You know any other? Yes, truthfulness? No, he didn't. Truthfulness. The third one is non-violence. Ahimsa, Kshanti, tolerance. Arjavam, simplicity. Acharya Upasana, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Saucham, cleanliness. Estariam, steadfastness. Atma Nivigraha, self-control. Indriya Artesu, in the matter of the senses. Vairagyam, renunciation. Anahankaraha, being without false egoism. Jadma Mrityu Jaravyadi, Dukkha Anu Dosha Anudarsanam. Yes, and what else? Detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even mindedness amidst pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All this I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. Truthfulness is not there, actually. Although truthfulness is one of the austerities. Let me see if we can. Let me just check that. Truthfulness. It should be, I'm sure, completely sure. Truthfulness. Where are you? Truth. Where is it? Austerity of speech. 783. It's just one few verses before. One second. Sorry, keep you waiting. Says austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficent, and not agitating to others. So it is actually one of the practices. And in regularly reciting Vedic literature. It's one of the austerities of speech. And we have also austerities of the body and austerities of the mind. So austerities, let me read that. Austerities of the body consist in worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, again, here, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence, again. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. And satisfaction, simplicity again, gravity, self-control again, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. And also, Prabhupada describes and explains what is truthfulness. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. We also have ahimsa, definition, which means one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Material activities that are promised by so many politicians, sociologists, philanthropists, etc., do not produce very good results because the politicians and philanthropists have no transcendental vision. They do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. Ahimsa means that people should be trained in such a way that the full utilization of the human body can be achieved. The human body is meant for spiritual realization, so any movement or any commissions which do not further that end commit violence on the human body. That which furthers the future spiritual happiness of the people in general is called non-violence. That is in a purport of 10.5. Yeah. So this book is full of knowledge, so nice. It's also in a purport to text 4.5, chapter 10 is explained, Asammoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Kshama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Satyam we already said. Then afterwards says control of the senses. Means that the senses should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses, but unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the senses should be restrained from unnecessary use. Similarly, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called sama. One should not expend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of the thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those whose thinking is very developed. Sukham, pleasure or happiness, should always be in that which is favorable for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And similarly, that which is painful or which causes distress is that which is unfavorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Anything favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and anything unfavorable should be neglected. Everything is in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't need any other book. I was told like that, and I believe it. And it's an action book that if you practice, then you just assure success in life. 700 verses, that's all that you need. And these four are condensing the essence. Do you have any questions or comments? Or? I'll read the verse again. Satata sete sam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So basically, in order to obtain God consciousness, there are different yoga systems which are given by the Lord in a ladder way. So from animal life to the highest consciousness of devotion, we have different processes of enlightenment, like karma kanda, karma yoga, and then within karma yoga we have Nishkama Karma Yoga, which means without desires, or Sakama Karma Yoga means with desires. But and then we also have Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. So different goals for those processes, like impersonal liberation, and also pure bhakti, basically. But with the Hare Krishna mantra, we have a system which is not needed to go step by step by all the ladder, but we go straight forward to Krishna by chanting his names, because there is no difference between Krishna's names and Krishna, and it's a process by which anyone who is engaged is actually uplifted in a very quick way. So the traditional system of Varna Ashram, different castes and orders of life, social and spiritual orders of life, is for a gradual elevation of the people. But with the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place, following the process given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 64 items. So that actually elevates the consciousness in a very straight, very high, very powerful way. So it's not a gradual elevation, but it's the elevator. Okay, so it's time for bhajans. Thank you very much. Jai Krishna.